Well, good morning. How is everyone? If you are in the foyer, if you begin working your way in this way, our ushers will begin closing those doors. We have opportunity this morning to make a decision of whether you're going to worship God this morning or not. I want to remind you of just a couple of things. One of those is that there is a ladies' meeting this afternoon. Actually, they call it a meeting, but at 2 o'clock, they're just laying out in the sun. So at 5 o'clock, I think, is when the actual meeting part goes. So if you're interested in that, that information is in the bulletin. Also, next Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are the last 3 days to get your picture taken for the pictorial directory. We want everybody's picture in the pictorial directory. So if you would, your reservation is easy to be made. You can do it right online, or you can stop by the information booth and we can get that done for you. The hardest part of the whole thing is this. You come in and you have to get your picture taken, and then you say no. Okay? You don't have to spend any money. Now, they are selling pictures, and you may want to buy some pictures, and that is fine. But an 8 by 10 is free to you. An app is going to be free to you if you use a smartphone, so that you can then have everybody's phone number at your disposal that is in the pictorial directory, which will be really nice. So we appreciate you coming in and getting your picture taken. So if you haven't made an appointment, please do that. Well, again, why don't you stand? I want to welcome you to Eagles Way. And I started out by saying you have a choice. So I encourage you to choose to worship God this morning. You know, I was telling somebody just before the service, these lights kind of go a little darker and the music gets a little bit louder. You know that one of those reasons is to create an atmosphere to where you can get alone with God. Right there in your pew or in your chair, in your place, that you can have a personal relationship and you can worship Him, you can tell Him about your week and what you need, and He can speak back to you. So Father, Lord, we thank You that we can come to this house, that we can worship You, that we can love You, that we can give, Father, Lord, our praise to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Salvation sounds a new beginning. As distant hearts begin believing, redemption's writ is unrelenting. Your love goes on. Your love goes on.
Sure.
tearing through the veil of darkness, breaking every chain you set us free, fighting for the furthest heart you gave your life for all to see.
Thank you. bounds to me, talking about being in His grace. This past Friday, I celebrated 10 years of sobriety, and I am humbled by the grace He's shown, and the support and the love of my family and my friends. And it has been a hard journey, but He has been with me through every moment. And I'm so nervous, sorry. It has been amazing just to see the grace and the love and the commitment of my mom and my in-laws, and just loving and supporting me through this and guiding me and letting me just fall to pieces and fall apart on occasion. But He has always been there, just over and over again, for me to just feel like a failure and want to give up. And it's like I was telling someone, it's a constant decision to love and to forgive and to walk and not be ashamed and feel like you have the strength because He provides it. That I'm not weak, I am strong through Him, and having to constantly remind myself of that. And that's okay. Just because you hear it, and just because you didn't get it that one time yesterday, doesn't mean that mercy is not new every day and every moment. It's okay, because He's still going to be there. And it has been an incredible journey, and you guys have been a huge, huge part of that. And thank you. Thank you so much. I love y'all.
Hey.
worship you, Father. We thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you so much that we can just let go and let you be a part of our lives and fill us from the inside out, God. Thank you, Jesus.
All we need is you. All we
Stops, never gives up, it never ends. It's always there, God. We love you. In your name we pray.
Just have you stand just one more moment, please. This is Sacrament of Healing this morning, second Sunday of every month. And usually we give people an opportunity to just come down to the front and we pray over them, anoint them with oil, that God will raise them up and bring their healing, whatever they need. But today, I want to do it just a little differently, because in the scriptures, there's a lot of different ways to administer healing. The Bible says that Jesus one time took some mud, stuck it in a guy's eye, told him to go wash, and he blinded eyes open. One time he said, if you just lay hands on the sick, they'd recover. And he said, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith would save the sick, and the Lord would raise them up. He said, if any two of you agree on earth as touching anything, whatsoever you shall ask, it shall be done. It said, if you pray you one for another, you will be healed. So there's just numerous ways that we can do that. And so this is what I want to do today. I want you, if you need God to minister in your body, soul, or spirit in any way, then would you just step out in the aisle closest to you? And as you do that, there are some really nice people here who love God with all their heart, and God is inside of them. And they just will lay hands on you and pray for you and ask the Lord to do what only He can do. So if you'll just step out in the aisle where you are, and you people see those people in the aisle, if you'll gather around them and begin to pray for them and just ask God to meet their need. There's two back here that need some people. There's one over here, two over here. Need some people to gather around these people. Move, saints. And we're going to agree together. Lord, we sanctify this time by your Spirit. We know that by your stripes that we were healed. We're the body of Christ that just reaches out our hands now. Lord, we ask you to flow through us. Let the gifts of the Holy Spirit, let the gift of healing, the gift, Lord, of the word of wisdom and knowledge and whatever's needed. Just minister your grace and your mercy to these people now. And we give you thanks and praise, knowing it's you. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit it happens. And we thank you, Lord. I want you to agree with me. Bobby O'Neill had hip surgery about 5-6 weeks ago, and it didn't work. It was a very intense hip surgery, and he was to have it redone this past Friday. And the doctor who did it went in and made a decision that it was beyond his expertise, that he was not going to be able to do that. And so he has recommended him to go to Atlanta to a specialist, and he's in the hospital today in Atlanta waiting on this specialist to do this operation. I don't think it's going to be today. I was looking for a text if it was today, but I haven't gotten it, so it's probably going to be tomorrow. But would you just join hands with the person next to you? This, I don't know of anybody who suffered much more than Bobby O'Neill suffered. He's been through a lot. And so, Lord, we know you created our bodies. And God, I pray for Bobby. Pray for his family. Pray for Samil. And Lord, that you just overshadowed them with your presence. That right this moment, Lord, as this body of believers extends our faith to them, our hearts to them, I just let angels go. I pray, God, that your presence will be so real in that room that they would just be amazed. And God, that you said that your angels were our ministering spirits. And we just dispatch them right now to go to that hospital room. And Lord, just surround it with your presence and your power and your peace. And I thank you that this surgery will be complete, it'll be successful, and Lord, that he'll regain, Lord, what he needs to regain to enjoy the life that you put him here to enjoy. And we thank you for that in advance. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Such a privilege to, anytime I get the opportunity to speak in front of folks at Eagles Way, I am just so elated and so excited. And on occasion, it doesn't happen very often that when I get to speak that Pastor Buren's actually here. And so it worked out that way this week. And what kind of transpired is, they didn't know I was going to do this, but my aunt and uncle are here from Arizona. And so I haven't had a whole lot of family members, because a lot of our family is throughout the nation, to come and to hear me speak. And so thank you for being here today. Give them a hand, please. Thank them for being here. The dad knew that they were coming in, and they love coming to church here and visiting when they are here. And they love Pastor Buren. And Uncle Larry just kind of made a comment to Dad. He said, you know, we'd love to hear Will speak sometime. So unbeknownst to me, Dad gets on the phone and calls Pastor Buren. So the coach's son is in to pitch. And coach, or he feels like he's got to throw the strikeout. No, I'm just teasing. But it is an honor for that. We're talking about Jesus stories. This entire series has been pretty awesome. How many have enjoyed Jesus stories? How many have gotten something new and different each week? Coming from, you may have known the story all of your life, or maybe you're new to being in the scriptures and you're hearing the stories for the first time, but there's always something to be gleaned from, always something to be learned from. And so don't just think because you've heard the story before there's not something for you to get. And so I've been on vacation all of last week. I had to leave early. Luke was sick on the Sunday before we left, and so I went home to be with him. And then, so I missed most of that service, and then missed all of last week, and I just knew that Miss Mary was going to be calling me wanting to know where in the world I was and what was going on. And anybody ever gotten a phone call from Miss Mary? Okay. If you're out too long, that's what happens. You get a phone call from Miss Mary. She's just a concerned saint that loves the Lord and loves you. So that will happen. I want to encourage you. There's some things coming up. The title of my message to this morning is, You Can Feed 5,000. You can feed 5,000. You know why I know that, and I can say that with confidence? It's because Christ in us is the hope of glory, and he said that we are going to do things greater than he did, and so that tells me that you can feed 5,000. Now, my faith was not weak this week when the type said 500, and we went back in there on your notes and put the extra zero, okay? There may be days that you only feel like you can feed 500, but it's okay. You can feed 5,000. Matter of fact, on August 2nd, we are cooking 2,000 hot dogs at the city park, and we need your help. This is the annual back-to-school bash. There'll be 1,500 book bags given away. Last year, if you helped, we did 4,000, and we were at downtown, and it was hot. So we have decided we're going back to the park, and this year the shoes are not going to be given away, so that's why we've dropped back to 2,000 hot dogs. But we still, and you can sign up for a three-hour segment. You can be on the grill team, the serve team, or the activity team. Okay, so if you are interested in any of those areas, there's sign-up sheets at the information booth. Also, Pastor Mike Thurston would like your help at Rushton Hope this weekend. For those of you that may not be aware, on the third Saturday of each month, we are responsible for providing the meal for 300 people and serving it to them. 300 people times 12, because we do it annually, is in the thousands. So you can feed 5,000. If you have your Bible with you, or if you just want to look at the screen, either way you want to do it, whether you're old school or new school, turn to John chapter 6. And we're going to read the story. Now, this account is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And matter of fact, most of Jesus' stories are in all four books because it's a person's perspective that is writing as to what transpired and what took place. And I chose John chapter 6 just because I like it the most. But start reading verse 14. And it says, "After this, Jesus crossed to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs and he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly the time of the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, 'Where can we buy bread to feed all of these people?' He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. And Philip replied, and I'm sure it was something like this, 'Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed all of them.' Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. 'There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?' Jesus said, 'Tell everyone to sit down.' So they all sat down on the grassy slopes, and the men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. After that, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, 'Now go and gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted.' So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten all that they absolutely wanted from the 5 barley loaves. Feeding 5,000. How could you imagine that? Would you consider that to be a problem? Would you consider that to be a dilemma? If all of a sudden you had to feed that many people? I was invited to a dinner party last night, and the person that was cooking was cooking fish, and there was 6 or 8 people there to eat, and someone that knows what they're doing with cooking wasn't the one that was cooking, said, "Providing fish for a large crowd is one of the hardest meals that you can do." And he provided great fish. It was fresh snapper, caught earlier that week down in the Gulf. It's wonderful. Getting you hungry for when you leave today. But it was prepared just wonderful, and we had all that we wanted. But Jesus fed 5,000 people with fish and bread, and they had all that they wanted. Well, that problem, and what would be a problem in my eyes, was pretty huge. Pretty huge dilemma. First of all, they didn't have the money to go and buy the fish that they needed, or the bread that they needed, or what we would do in these days is we would fix soup, because you can just keep adding water, right? You're going to have to feed a lot of people, you fix soup, because it doesn't matter who shows up, you can just add more water to the broth and keep stretching it rather than individual pieces. I remember one time I think I was 11 or 12, I'm not exactly sure, and our family, which was a family of, I think at that time was 5 that was traveling, it might have been 6 traveling, can't remember if my older brother was with us or not, but we got to my grandmother's house in Southern Illinois, and she had fixed a huge dinner. She lived by herself in a small high-rise apartment. Huge dinner in her eyes. And these 4 pieces of chicken and this little bit of rice that she had prepared for this family of 5 coming was quickly pulled off the bone, cut into small pieces, and chicken and rice for all 7 of us, if it was 7 at that time, ate as much as we wanted. So it can happen when you have creative ideas and you allow those things to flow through you in those times. I'm going to give you 3 ways to solve these problems. three ways that you can feed 5,000. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever task that you have to accomplish, whatever seems insurmountable to you, these are three things that if you will do these, you're going to be successful and be able to do them. The first thing is you have got to minimize the problem. You've got to minimize the problem. You're always going to have problems. The scripture says that testings and trials come. They're going to be there with you. Don't deny that there's a problem, okay? But don't dwell on them either. If you went through the school of positive thinking, whatever you think on, whatever you concentrate on, it's going to grow and it's going to expand and it's going to happen in your life. So don't think on the problem, think on the solution to those things. So don't, you need to minimize the problem of what's taking place. You know, the first time that we fed 2,000 hot dogs in the park, I was like, I think we can do this. We might be able to pull this off. And about the day before, I'm going, oh my God, Lord, I sure hope we can do this. Maybe we'll pull this off. And then the volunteers showed up and did that, and we cooked it. And you know what? This year they said, you cook? That's easy. We can do 2,000 hot dogs. We got that on our own. We didn't really have to get anybody else involved. Guess what happens? Sometimes the problems get even bigger. And you're stretched. But minimize your problems. Don't dwell on them. What you have to realize is that God is much bigger than your problem. If you'll turn or look on the screen to John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. It's going to happen. How are you going to handle it? But take heart, because I have overcome the world. If God is able to overcome the world, guess what that means? He's bigger than your problem. There is nothing going on in your world that He can't handle. Now, we are in position at times that we have to believe that. We have to trust in that. We have to walk in that. Some days it's easier than others. Anybody had a good day this week where everything went good and you believed in everything? Nobody? Hold on. Okay, I needed to see a few hands. Thank you. We had some good days this week. Anybody this week have a bad day? It happened. But you can feed 5,000. Second thing you're going to have to do, once you have minimized the problem, you are going to have to maximize your resources. You have been given lots of resources. Lots of resources. You have to be thankful for everyone that you have. Something I had never seen before. I have read the story of the 5,000. I have been told it to from Sunday school class all the way up. Something I never saw before is Jesus took the loaves and He thanked God for them and He blessed them and He distributed them. But then He took the two fish and He did it again. He was thankful for each and everything. Think about it for a second. Is there something in your life that is a blessing to you that you are taking for granted? Think about that. What blessing are you taking for granted? God gave us the example that if we take and we bless it and we're thankful for it, that it is going to maximize our resource. Think about this story. The two fish and the five loaves fed 5,000 people. Actually more than that, because it was 5,000 men. And then there was women and children. The other thing that transpired in this story is that they did not belittle the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Now you can be thankful, Lord, I'm so thankful for my house. And then you're talking with somebody, where do you live? We live on such and such. We've been there 20 years. It's just a little old place. It's just nice. It's something that, you know, it may not be the Taj Mahal, but it works for us. Don't belittle what you have. What God has given you and what the blessings are in your life, be grateful for them. Be thankful. Stand forth with those things and step into those things, because what then happens is God can then bless you with things and greater to come. Don't belittle those things in your life. Do not let your past limit your thinking. How many have ever done something and it didn't work? Okay, probably everybody in here. You've tried something and it didn't work. And let's be honest, that's called experience. And there's some good things about experience. There's lessons that you learn from experience. And if you tried sticking your finger in a light socket and it didn't work, you learned from that and you don't try that again. Okay? But what you have to do in the realm of God, in the realm of blessings, in the realm of seeking Him, just because something didn't work in the past doesn't mean that it's not going to work in the future. And so don't allow your past thinking to stifle you and to keep you from moving in directions that you need to move. I was talking with somebody last night, and we were just talking about a place and that where they were in their life and what was going on and different things. And I was like, man, that was awesome. But what came to me that I felt like it was a God thing that I just needed to share was, listen, I realize where you're at, and I'm with you, and I'll be praying with you, but just keep moving. God, you know, steering a ship that is moving is a whole lot easier than just moving the rudder back and forth with somebody that's sitting still. Don't let your past limit your thinking. Fourthly, give what you have. If you're going to maximize your resources, you have to give what you got. I want you to be with me for just a second. Close your eyes. You're back in the Bible days, and you're a little, let's just say probably 12 or 13-year-old boy or girl, and you got up that morning, and you knew that there was an event going on, and you were old enough now that you could be gone for the day. You weren't with your parents. And you go, man, wow, I'm going to fix me a lunch so I can stay the whole day. So you go in there, and you fix you a lunch, and you got 5 loaves of bread. Normally at dinner time, you eat 3 loaves of bread, but you know you're going to be gone all day long, so you got 5 loaves of bread. And you, instead of just getting 1 piece of fish, you put 2 pieces of fish in there, and you can look back up, and you got this huge sack lunch now, and you are headed off for the day. It's a big day. 12, 13-year-old, he's just now at this age where he's allowed to go and do things on his own. He's got it made. Doesn't matter what happens. He's got his lunch. He's going to be fine. And all of a sudden, this old guy. I'm 47 years old, and I do not consider myself to be an old guy. But unfortunately, there are 15 and 16-year-olds that think, he's pretty old. So this old guy comes up to this young boy and says, hey, dude, we need your lunch. I got to take that. Now, granted, 12, 13-year-old kid, but he could have tucked that under his arm and been gone. He said, catch me if you can. I'm going to eat my lunch. And he'd have found a shade tree somewhere, and he'd have ate his lunch, and he'd have been full for 3 hours until he got hungry again. But this prized possession that he had, these 5 loaves and these 2 fish, he said, okay. And he gave it to the old guy. Now, it's his prize and possession. But the old guy came back to Jesus and said, man, all I got is this lousy 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. What in the world are we going to do? He may not use the word lousy, but I'm sure he did say, it is not going to do anything for this crowd that we have here. But if that little boy had not been willing to give what he had, 10,000 people wouldn't have been touched by Christ that day. They were fed tangibly. He spoke to them in their emotions. And spiritually, they saw miracles that changed their lives forever. Because a little boy gave what he had. You've got to minimize your problems. You've got to maximize the resources that God has given you. But the most important thing that you have to do is you have to include God in what you're doing. You can take principles of the school of positive thinking and use those principles yourself. And it'll only take you so far. You can minimize the problem, not dwell on it so it doesn't grow big, and you can maximize the resources, the things that you have. But if you don't include God, you limit the miraculous power to work in your life. You limit the world to be changed. For those of you that get involved in the back-to-school bash, you're going to change the life of 2,000 people for that day. They're going to get a free hot dog. Sure, there may be somebody there that's just eating it just to eat it. But there may be somebody there that's eating it because that's all they're going to get that day. When you include God, you must pray. Right? Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, be patient in trouble and keep on praying. I got a feeling there was a few of those disciples that were doing some praying. The ones that were told, tell them to sit down and let's pass out this fish, I'd have been praying. If I was the one going, here's a piece of fish, I'd have been praying. Keep on praying. You've got to read 2 Timothy 2:15, that study to show yourself approved unto God. You're going to have to learn some things. Make yourself knowledgeable. If you're going to invest some money, do you just invest in anything that comes along? No. Hopefully, if you're godly, you pray about it and you read. You find out, is this going to be a good investment? Is this something I'm going to do? You change the way you think. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that God is going to transform you by changing the way that you think. If you want to feed 5,000, if your mentality says, I don't know that I can do that, then if you change the way that you think, God will transform you so that you can. You're going to have to vent up. Now, a couple of these things came from the school of positive thinking, and I'm not spending a lot of time on them, but venting up means that you don't just start complaining to just anybody. You don't go to just whoever is going to listen and just share all the stuff that's going on inside of you. But when you have a mentor, you have somebody that is that above you, that you are going to go to and you're going to pour out your feelings. Because feelings are neither right nor wrong, but you've got to process through them. So when you vent up, when you share this stuff, you're not being negative. You're being real. And when you are real to someone that can help encourage you, you then have a responsibility to receive that encouragement and to change. You can't just continue to vent. And so that's why the last thing I have there is that you need to receive counsel. And it needs to be godly counsel. Whatever area it might be. There's a counseling ministry here. There's pastors here that if it's a spiritual thing. Jenny and I are, you know, we're looking at almost 50. You know, I'm 15 years from now, you know, 20 years from now, I might want to retire. I don't know. But am I going to be... So we're inquiring, we're praying, we're reading. We're going to receive some counsel on what to do, what investments to make. Whatever it is that you've got to accomplish, whatever feat that seems huge to you, you can feed 5,000. If you allow God to work in your life, to change the way that you think so that you minimize the problems and maximize the resources, you will be unlimited. You'll change the world. In your bulletins, there was an insert. Some of you might have looked at that and said, why in the world are they putting this in a church bulletin insert? A Doc Holliday festival, poker tournament, barbecue championship. If you took the time to read the back page, when you got all the way down to the bottom, it says the Mid-Georgia Doc Holliday Festival is a partnership between the Georgia Barbecue Association, Eagles Way Church, the City of Griffin, the Griffin Main Street Program, the Downtown Council, and the Griffin Spalding Chamber of Commerce. We had for about 7 years now, myself and Howard Ayers and a couple others, we've been praying about a signature event for Eagles Way Church. What can we do to affect our community? And we've tossed around all different kind of ideas. And we've looked at some of the ones. I mean, how many went to First Assembly to see the fireworks on that Sunday night? Was it the 6th? Oh, well, anyway, you guys didn't. But there was lots of people that went to the fireworks show and saw their fireworks. And they touched some people's lives. And it was something that they did for our community, which is incredible. And it's awesome. The First Methodist Church does a 5K run. Anybody ever run in the First Methodist Church 5K run? Got a few people. Dad? I'm impressed, Dad. All right? Okay? They give about $30,000 to charities in our community that touch people's lives because of that 5K run that the First Methodist Church did. So I've been praying, God, what can we do? And I think it was Howard, it may have been Donnie, I can't remember. Why don't we do a barbecue championship? Got to putting some thoughts together on it, and we got a little committee together, and especially my barbecue folks, and we started talking about it, and so we decided, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to try to see if we can make it happen. I said, well, I'll go talk with the chamber and the city and see if they're even interested. Long story, but I found out there's a Doc Holliday committee in town. I found out that the city of Griffin is getting ready to brand the real Doc Holliday name, and they've got plaques that are going up across the county, and they haven't planned anything yet. I found out that the chamber is really on board and wanting to make this happen. I said, well, we're doing this barbecue thing. Why don't you guys just partner with us, and let's make it a big event? So as of right now, it is going to be a huge event. Now, we don't have sole responsibility of the whole thing, but we've got pretty much say over the barbecue aspect of it. We're going to need some volunteers from Eagles Way to do some things. One of the things is sell raffle tickets for a Stump Baby Barbecue Smoker. Now, you may have no idea what a stump baby barbecue smoker, but it is a Ferrari in the smoker industry. Okay? Did I say it right, Jen? Usually I say that word wrong. Okay, I do it right. It is, and so Donnie is responsible for getting these tickets out across the community. They're going to have this smoker hopefully sitting in some banks and different businesses and selling tickets for this. But I'd love for Eagles Way to be a major part of that aspect of it, of selling those tickets, making an impact in our community. We're going to be giving back to charities, feeding people with some of the proceeds that come from this event. There's an event that takes place in Milledgeville. It's very similar to this. Last year, they had about, I was told, I don't know exactly, about 22,000 people that visited this event. And they netted, with proceeds, about $65,000. That made an impact on Milledgeville and that community and what's taking place. And Eagles Way has a chance to be involved in giving back to a city and to a county in a way that's going to make a difference. So as you begin to see this advertising, the advertising is just now being released, you can go, somebody says, yeah, I know about that. Our church is involved with that. And there's a website. You can go to docholidayfest.com and see more information, and there's more things being added. But I wanted you to be aware of it so that you knew what was transpired and what you were involved with. And this has been months of meetings. And when you bring all of these entities together and you try to get everybody on the same page about where money is going and how it's going to be dispersed, it's a little bit of work and effort. But it's been worth it. Well, are we going to spread salvation? Are we going to give an altar call? No, there won't be any altar calls given. But we're going to touch people's lives. And then after that, people are going to go and get food at the soup kitchen or the food pantry. And people are going to touch their lives there. Somebody, promise you, somebody's going to come and say, man, Eagles Way Church was that. I had a blast. I'm going to go check out Eagles Way Church. And when they get here, they're going to feel loved because you're going to love them. And they're going to feel secure because you're going to make them feel safe. And their life could be changed because of a Doc Holliday festival that they attended. Now, there's actually going to be some fundraising opportunity for Eagles Way through this process. The ladies' ministry, I believe, is they're going to talk today in their meeting about whether they're going to tackle that or not. So there's more things to come with that. But what you need to hear is this event, it was insurmountable to me. Doing the barbecue part of it, that was no problem. I felt like, you know, I got these guys that know barbecue. We can make that happen. But pulling off this whole event, because guess who happens to be the chair of the event committee? Wasn't my original plan. And this was my 5,000, I'll be honest with you. And it's not over yet. We still got a couple of months. But it's coming together. You know why? I maximized my resources. Wasn't all Eagles Way. I minimized the problem. But let me tell you, I'm trusting God that it's going to make a difference. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As I was praying this morning, I just felt like I needed to give you an opportunity that if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never said, I want to let you be Lord of my life. I want to include you. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to read. I'm going to change the way I think. And you want to accept Jesus into your life. Just slip your hand up right where you're at. Wherever you may be sitting. I see that hand. Thank you so much. Anyone else? I see that hand. Thank you. Father, Lord, I thank you for these that have raised their hands. Thank you, Lord, that even right now, Lord, that you infill them that their commitment by raising their hand to accept you as their Lord and to do things your way. Lord, that they will be involved in a church, hopefully Equals Way, or wherever they may be, and continue that relationship with you. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
I got to do what he just talked about. I got to do it. I got two great needs. I got two. One of them has to do with alms. And the Lord's laid on my heart. But Dusty got a call yesterday, and a young lady who cleans her house is not going to be able to clean her house because she has a husband's in the hospital. You know, that's a big deal to her. Big deal. And I just feel impressed. I got another. I don't have to feed 5,000, but I got to feed some people. Every Wednesday we give out checks, and there's some people who depend on them checks. It ain't 5,000, but it's several families, and we have fed families for a long, long time. We are $13,000 behind for the year. It's been a really, really tough summer, and I need your help, and I'm going to minimize my problem. It's $13,000, and I think we can get it today. I got a little stash at home that is my vacation money that I've been putting aside to go to St. John. That I just been so, every time I look at those bills, I go, I'm going to have so much fun in St. John. I just can't wait. And I'm not going to give extra tithe this morning, although we give extra tithe every Sunday. But I'm personally not going to give because I feel like I'm kind of giving that to me. But I feel to give to alms and missions this morning. So I'm going into my stash at home, my St. John's money, and I want to give it. And I want to ask you, maybe you've got something you put back for something, that whether it's your alms this morning or for some extra tithe, we need your help. And I'm just going to believe God. We're not leaving him out. This is his church. I gave that to him years ago on High Falls Road. I thought it was my church when I first started pastoring, because that's the way I was taught, it's your church. And after about 6 months of pastoring my church, I said, Lord, no, I'm going to give this one back to you. This is your church. And so I've lived that way. It's his church, so I believe he provides, don't you? So just think about what you can give this morning. If you can't, over the next couple of weeks, we really would appreciate you'd help us out. So Father, we commit this to you. I thank you, Lord, that the same God who multiplied those five loaves and two fish is the same God today. Same God who rained down manna from heaven is the same God today. And I just thank you that this $13,000 is no big deal. These alms needs are no big deal. And we're just coming to you and thanking you for what we have. I don't have a whole lot, Lord, but what I have I'm going to give. And we do this in honor of you and in honor of people who are in need. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.